Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Axe video series. This last Sunday, we just spoke about Stephen's bold speech and his sermon that led to this incredibly powerful and famous moment in the book of Acts, and that is the stoning of Stephen. And we read about that in Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 54. Acts 7:54 says this, "Now when they heard these teachings, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep."
Wow.
There's so much in here that is just unbelievable.
It's rich. I mean, even though it's a very short passage, and you know, you covered it a little bit in the message when you went through the sermon.
Yeah.
There's just so much that we could talk about. Even in you know, as they heard these things, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. I mean, this is the message of connecting the entire Old Testament all the way to the person of Jesus and the resurrection, and it's your fault.
Yes.
And I mean, this is the same message that kind of keeps coming.
Yep.
As we see it in Pentecost, we see the message preached again.
Yep.
By Peter. You see it again, you know, so it's just like the message of the gospel keeps getting preached, and it is the gospel of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, and Jesus is now king, you know, and the reality, right, of the entire fulfillment of the Old Testament. So it's like it radically changes everything.
Yes.
And so it's horrifying to the Jews.
Well, what's amazing is, I mean, he knows that his life is on the line. And he, full of the Holy Spirit, looks at these guys, at the religious leaders, and says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." And it's like, they stop their ears because they can't take it anymore and cast them out of the city because they're so enraged. It's just, it's absolutely unbelievable. One of the most beautiful things, I heard this years ago about this passage, is this is the only place where Jesus is described as standing at the right hand of God. Every other place, he's sitting. And, I mean, this must have been 2006, 2007 maybe, when I heard a teaching on this passage. And the challenge was, look at Stephen. He's being so obedient and so faithful to God that in his final moments, Jesus is like watching from heaven, standing.
He gets to see it.
Standing for Stephen.
Wow.
And so the challenge in that, I don't even remember who it was, but the challenge in that was live a life that causes Jesus to stand.
Wow.
And it's like that level of self-sacrifice and boldness, laying down your life for the sake of the gospel, and seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father is like, man, that just gets me going.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the standing ovation from the King of Kings.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's like you.
Yes,
And not only, you know, you do see how Christ-like he's being in this moment where he's telling them the truth.
Yes.
He's saying it in love, and he truly even ends with, "Forgive them."
Yeah.
So very similar to the way that Jesus died.
Yeah.
Where it's like he is walking so close with Jesus. He looks like Jesus. He's suffering like Jesus, and he's willing to die like Jesus, which radically is not putting the blame on the people that are killing him.
Yeah.
And asking God's mercy and grace on them. So it's like this.
We don't have a category for that.
It's so important because it's sort of like, how do you love people that are killing you? And And are you even alive if you can't really... I mean, that's the measure, I think.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's like, do we love people that much?
Yeah.
Do we love our enemies that much is the test.
Yeah.
You know, your relationship with God, I heard once, your relationship with God is only as good as your worst relationship.
Hmm.
And people hate that.
Yeah. Yes.
It makes them grind their teeth, yes. Right? Because the reality is like, how good is the love that you've got? Is it just for people that love you? Mm. Or is it greater than that? Is it overflowing from God himself into you, and then the mercy that you're then receiving from God that you truly understand is more than you deserve, and then you give that same kind of love and mercy, which is way more than you than maybe they deserve.
Yeah,
it's a way of life that is the best way to live.
Yeah,
and I think at the end of the day, it's sort of like, well, what does a saved person look like? You know, they look like you could kill them and they would forgive you on the spot.
Yeah.
Like they look free
of
all entanglements to this earth. He's not trying to hold on to anything.
No. Well, and even, I mean, this is where Saul is introduced into the book of Acts. And in, as we'll see in weeks to come, like Saul is just dead set on destroying these people. And killing them and murdering them and arresting them. And I was just having a conversation yesterday about the fact that out of Acts chapter 9, where it says that Saul is breathing out lies and murderous thoughts, it's literally the air around him is just murderous and rage and destruction. And he was so set on that. And yet here is Stephen. Saul is in, he's there.
Yeah.
He's standing there approving of what's happening to Stephen. And Stephen is asking for Saul's forgiveness, that God would forgive Saul for what he was doing.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
It is, it's epic. And it's this, it, I mean, and Saul's standing there like a straight up mob boss.
Yes.
Like he's holding everybody's coats while they murder Stephen. So he's like, give me your coat and go over there and kill him. Like he is in charge of murdering Christians. He is literally the worst.
Yeah.
Right. And so and he ends up being the greatest, you know, apostle, you know, and it's, I just love that. So you have like the very first basically deacon, you know, willing to serve and help the widows becomes this amazing servant of God and willing to suffer and die. And then Jesus is standing up and celebrating, and Saul is standing there approving of his murder, and he's forgiving him. I mean, just the visual of all those big pieces is so important, I think, because they're always there. Like those pieces are always going on in our lives. There's somebody that's, you know, really hates us.
Yeah.
There's somebody who... really, like, there's the Lord, actually. Am I working for you, right? Mm. Alone on the throne? Or am I, you know, am I doing what I'm doing for me?
Yeah.
And I just love that. You know, people say, like, are you doing this for an audience of one? I mean, this is literally that.
That's what's described. There is an audience of one, and he is totally dead set on that and committed to that. It's incredible. And I think the picture of all of that, and throughout the scripture, and even modeled by Jesus, like this is what Christianity is. This is what we are called to. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the life of Jesus, it's like, there's no question in there. This is what he modeled for us. And when he's saying, follow me, he's saying, I actually want you to live out the ways that I've modeled for you in the world. And here's Stephen doing that very thing, and it's absolutely incredible. And I wonder as Saul is witnessing this, I wonder how much this moment with Stephen, as he's watching him pray for God forgiving Saul, is just, that's just a seed planted, and then God later brings about, you know, his repentance and turning away from his murderous thoughts toward Christians and actions toward Christians.
It must have been, you know, and we're not to that story
yet. Yeah.
But it must have been one of the hardest things to get over.
Yeah.
Because this guy was clearly like like innocent.
Yeah.
And like his face would glow.
Yeah.
You know, yes. He was so close to God. Yeah. It's like his face would glow, kind of like as described at Moses after spending time with God in the tent of meeting, then his face would actually glow. It's sort of like this idea of like when you're with God, it kind of shows, it like reflects.
Yeah.
And that light is obvious.
Yeah.
And, well, I think we're all called to go be the light of the world in that very same way. And it's absolutely unstoppable if that kind of love is in you for it not to shine out.
Yep.
And we don't want to talk about everything because this is a little short passage, but there's so much to dig into here. So I just want to encourage everybody to keep digging into the word, following along with us. Go back and read the context of each story that we're working through so that you kind of can remember what just happened and where we are. And these amazing truths of the church are just being laid out in front of us. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. Because we're trying to be the church, right? And not just go to church. And so it's so important that we watch these men of God and what they did and try to figure out how do we walk in the same way.
Yeah, amen. All right, you guys, have a great discussion. We'll see you next time. God bless.